Just one verse. I don't know how many verses are in the Bible. Thousands. We know there are 66 books in the Bible. Wonderful. You young folk, if you like history, there's plenty of history in the Bible. Plenty of it. If you like poetry, great poetry in the Bible, and so on and so forth. This is the most wonderful book in all the world. There must be millions of books. There's no book like this one, the Bible. This is God's book. This is God's word. God speaks to us only in one way, through the Bible. Through the Bible. And I'm sure that, and I hope and pray, and we have been praying, through the back there, that some will hear God speak tonight. That's the only reason we gather here on a Sunday night, by the way. Not so much to hear the preacher, but to hear the voice of God. If we don't hear his voice, well, we can't say mission accomplished anyway, if we don't hear the voice of God. We've failed in our gathering here tonight. And that's our prayer, that we'll hear God speak to us in the quietness of our hearts. So let's think of some of the wonderful ones, just a few of them. We'll think of more verses, of course, but let's think of some of the wonderful ones of the Bible. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels, then Acts, and then Romans chapter 6. Wonderful verse. 6 and 23, the last verse, the very last verse of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For, says the writer, Paul, for the wages of sin is death. But, I'm so glad that there's a but there. It's one of these great buts of the Bible. But, it changes the narrative completely. Up to now, the narrative has been of death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Had we gone back one chapter into chapter 5, we'd have read this, another great verse. By one man, that was Adam, of course, the first man, created by the hand of God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, of course, we need to think just briefly of that. Not say too much about it, because I want to come to the gift of God. That is really what charms us, in a sense, which fills our hearts with joy, just to think that our God, who made us, is a giving God. He's a loving God. And we measure that love by his giving. But then we go back to Genesis, right to the beginning. And we think of Adam in the garden. I'd love to have seen that garden. In a sense, we'd love to have been there. Because there was never a garden like it. And there never has been a garden like it. Some of us are quite keen in gardens. But this one was the most beautiful garden ever. Can you imagine a garden without thorns and thistles and weeds and all these ugly things? And of course, all these things really tell us about what happened in the garden. Everything was fine for a time. Let's think about that. And then we'll come to the sad bit of the garden, really. Because the serpent came in. It says, now the serpent. So Adam was placed in the garden. And it was all beautiful. It was like a paradise. Really, like a paradise. It was beautiful. There were no problems in the garden. No health problems. We don't think about that much, do we? There was no health problems. There was no food problems. Oh, there's a lot of talk about food these days, isn't there? Horse meat and all these kind of things. But there was no food problems in the garden. None at all. Everything was wonderful, and the trees all round about, and God made one prohibition. You know, I've often thought about that. He just gave Adam and Eve one commandment. Later on, he gave Israel 10 commandments. 10. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But at the beginning, he just gave them one commandment. You can eat of all the trees in the garden. That's wonderful. So there's plenty to choose from. There was plenty of provision. But there's one particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. Says God, don't touch it. You dare not eat of it? Because there's a warning connected with that. In the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. You'll die. Now you see, Adam lived for hundreds of years after that. So we need to know what that means. He lived till he was an old man of 930. You read about that in Genesis chapter 5. 930 years he lived. But he didn't die whenever he took of the fruit. No. Because what it meant was this. As far as God was concerned, by disobeying God, he put himself out of, in a sense, the reach of God, the fellowship with God, because God had come into the garden. That's another great thing about this garden, by the way. Adam and Eve had company. They weren't alone in the garden. They had wonderful company. God came in now and again and walked with them and talked with them. That's why I'm saying to you, there's no garden like it. The very presence of God in it made it what it was. Wonderful thing. And so he was come into the garden from time to time. But then, of course, we know how grievously they disobeyed. What an event that was. What a sad event. Just out of one commandment, they disobeyed. You see, that's a bit harsh. That's a bit severe. That God should hold them accountable for breaking one commandment. That's the God that we're speaking about tonight. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a sin-hating God. And so for committing one sin of disobedience, sin came into the garden. So the serpent came in, and then sin came in. One follows the other. And so they disobeyed. And the whole thing changed. The whole thing changed. Adam and Eve, of course, hid from the Lord. They actually tried to hide themselves from God. Somewhere in the garden. He knew where they were. He knows where you are tonight. You say, I'm in the gospel hall. That's right. But tomorrow morning, you'll know where you are too. And every day this week, he knows where we are. Because the Bible says, thou God seest me. With an old friend, Mr. Mackey. Lovely man he was. Used to come to our house a lot. And his stepmother, they were conversing about things. And he said to his stepmother, he says, that verse is scary. Thou God seest me. That frightens me. I'm scared by it. She says, David, think of it another way. You're so precious to God, that he'll not even take his eye off you for a single moment. Wonderful. You mean so much to God. He cares for you. He looks upon you. And he won't take his eye off you for a very single moment. Different way of looking at it. Thou God sees me. He cares for us. He's interested in us. But there it was, though. The saddest event in this world's history. Sin came into the garden. And it changed everything. Changed everything. The wages of sin is death. Is death. As sinners, we are out of touch with God. We're out of contact with God. We're out of fellowship with God. And we need him. We can't live without him. But as sinners, we're at a distance from God. That's the big point. We need to make that absolutely clear tonight. We're at a distance from God. But then we're hearing through in the back hall earlier on, Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just one, for we the unjust ones. For what purpose? That he might bring us to God. That he might bring us from the place of distance and bring us right into the presence of God. Surely that's the thing that we would desire. To be brought from the place of distance and darkness and all these things, to be brought to God. Because that's what Peter says. He died, he suffered, that he might bring us to God. To be brought into his family, it means. Well, we're saying there's no garden like the Garden of Eden, but there's no family like the family of God. No family like it. The greatest family in all the world. Composed of children of God. By faith in Jesus Christ. So you can have that tonight, my friend. You can be brought into the very family of God. Nothing like it. No more wonderful experience. Just to claim that I am a child of God. A child of God. And I am near to God. And he means everything to me. What a wonderful experience that would be for someone in this meeting tonight, some younger person, some older person, to know the forgiveness of sins. Let's come to the second part, shall we? Because it's wonderful. Everything's changed. The wages of sin is death, yes. But the gift of God, think of it, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the gift of God. As I said earlier on, God is a loving God. And he's proved it by what he's done. He's proved that love by what he's given. He's always giving. Paul speaks about it quite a bit. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Have you thought about that? Have we thought about it today? God has given us this very day richly all things to enjoy. Says Paul again in another place, he says, he gives us life. Oh yes, the very life we've got now. The source of it is God. And he gives us breath. The very breath we breathe. The life that we have, the breath that we breathe, is given by God. Abbott says, the scriptures, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, he's given us life. He's given us breath. He gives us day by day all that we require for life. But above all that, says John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We sometimes think, was there a gift like the Saviour given? There's only one answer. No, not one. No gift like the Saviour. We've been thinking about him tonight. There's no one like my Saviour. No friend can be like him. And so he gave his Son. What for? To die upon the cross. And that hymn that Johnny gave out, 169, there is life for a look at the crucified one. All we do, pray really, and we have been praying, that someone in this meeting tonight will take that life-giving look. Can I repeat that? May you take that life-giving look to Calvary tonight. Because there's no other way we can find life. There's no other way we can have it. There's no other way we can enjoy it. That life is in his Son, says John's Gospel. He that hath the Son has it. Yes. So you, how do I know if I've got this life? The gift of God is eternal life. But how do I know that I've got this wonderful life that you're speaking about it? Well, of course, we've mentioned that verse. He that has the Son has life. So if you've got the Son, if you've embraced the Son, if you've welcomed the Lord Jesus into your heart and life, you've got that eternal life. If you've got the Son. That really puts us into two categories here tonight. We either have the Son and we have life, or we don't have the Son and we don't have life. And there is nothing else. Nothing in between. No neutral ground. We've either got the Son. That's wonderful. And we've got salvation. We've got forgiveness. We've got life. We've got security. That was the thing I was thinking about the garden. The peace and security in the garden. Oh, that's what people are craving for today. Peace. Security. They had it in the garden. Wonderful peace. Wonderful security. They had no fears. They had no worries. No anxieties. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we'll have security. We'll have wonderful peace. Because our sins will be forgiven. And of course, sin is the problem. That's the big problem. That's at the root of all of our problems. Sin. The gift of God. Eternal life. Do you want it tonight? Do you desire it, my friend? More than anything else in this life, in this world. Oh, that we could come across people who were craving for eternal life, seeking it, desiring it, because you can have it. That's the point. The gift of God. God is willing and ready to give this eternal life. Let's think about the cross for a little while. We cannot preach without the cross. We have no message, my friends, without the cross of Christ. None at all. If we don't preach the cross and preach that precious blood, we have no message. We're just up here passing the time ineffectually. The cross of Jesus Christ is the source of all our hope. It's the source of all our blessing. It was the place of forgiveness. It says he made peace by the blood of his cross. You want peace tonight? It's in Christ Jesus. He made peace by the blood of his cross. What did it mean for the Lord Jesus? We couldn't even begin to think about it tonight. What it meant to him, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. Because God made to meet upon the Lord Jesus all our sins and iniquities. He had no sins of his own. Let's make that abundantly clear. The Holy One, the sinless one. No sin or defilement ever characterized the Lord Jesus. Spotless and holy and pure. So when he died upon the cross, it was for the sins of others. It was really for your sins and my sins. See, we're all sinners, my friend. Don't think for one minute that the folk that go to the gospel hall in Kennywood are not sinners. Don't think that for a minute. We're all sinners. But there are sinners who are saved by grace. That's the difference, isn't it? Sinners who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sinners who look back to a time when the burden of sin, and it is an awful burden, when the burden of sin was rolled away. Because Jesus took that burden from off us. That load of sin that we could hardly bear, he took that burden when he died at the place called Calvary. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree, said the hymn writer. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we are free. That is the gospel. That's the very kernel of the gospel, the very heart of it all. That blessed man, when he died upon the cross, he died for our sins, as Paul said, when he spoke about the gospel that we preach. And Judas said to Paul, and what's the basis of the gospel you preach, Paul? He says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. That's it. According to the scriptures. But there's more than that. He died for our sins, but then he was buried. And then he rose again the third day, a victorious, triumphant Christ. And he's exalted. He's in heaven. He's at God's right hand, says Peter. And he's a saviour at God's right hand. So yes, 2,000 years ago or so, he died. He was buried. He rose again. But he's now in heaven. He's alive. At God's right hand. And let me tell you something. He's very interested in this meeting tonight. Very, very interested. Maybe you're just sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know, maybe you're thinking of a lot of things. I just want to remind you, though, that God is looking down here tonight. He's here. We believe it. He's in this building tonight. This divine person. This Father in heaven. He's just here tonight. And he's deeply interested in each one of you. Cares for you. And he would love you to accept this gift that he offers. The gift of God is eternal life. Well, you all know what you do when you're offered a gift. You take it. You just take the gift and thank the giver. That's what all preachers used to say. We take the gift and just give thanks to the giver. Is somebody going to do that tonight? Just receive the gift. Accept the gift. Here's what Lord Jesus said in John 5 and 24 about eternal life. He said, he that heareth my words, well, that's where you are tonight. You're hearing the words of Christ. He's been speaking those words for centuries. He that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. What a promise that is. Hath everlasting life. If you hear his word tonight, my friends, I trust you do. God speaks to you. And you believe in his son. You believe that when he died upon the cross, he was putting away your sins there. He was making it possible that you might have life and peace and joy and forgiveness. And if you receive him and believe in him, listen to what the Lord Jesus said again, that wonderful promise. You'll have everlasting life. Everlasting life. He says, I am come, he says in John chapter 10. The words of the Lord Jesus, they're beautiful words. The most beautiful words that anyone ever spoke were the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, I am come that they might have life. So if you're asking, why did the Lord come down from heaven? That they might have life. But not only that, that they might have it in abundance. So the life that the Lord Jesus offers, the life that God offers tonight, is abundant life. It's a fullness of life. It's not just a continuation of the kind of life we live day by day. It's a complete different life altogether. There's nothing in this world can compare with it. You can't say, oh, it's a bit like that, or it's a wee bit like this. You can't compare it. This is God's life within an individual. Wonderful. You can hardly even take it in. God living in me. Christ living in me. That's the Bible, though. That's what the Bible says about it. That in every Christian, Christ is living within them. What a difference that makes. And so he that heareth my word, believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Just about finished. The gift of God, the greatest gift in the world, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's through him, you see. The focus of our meeting is Christ Jesus. When we gather here on a Sunday night, it's to see something of Christ Jesus. If we don't see Christ in the meeting, it's a big disappointment. If you don't see Christ tonight, you're missing a great deal, my friend. God wants you to see him tonight. He wants you to come to him tonight. He wants you to believe in him tonight. And he's given us the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another of the great promises of Christ Jesus. I will give you. There it is again, you see. The gift of God. I will give you. The only thing you need to bring to him tonight is your sins. That's all he asks of us. We can't bring anything else, by the way. We can't bring our good works. We can't bring anything but our sins. He wants us to bring our sins to him, and he'll deal with them. He'll forgive them. He'll cleanse us. He'll give us hope. Do you want hope tonight? Do you want peace tonight? Do you want pardon tonight and forgiveness? Accept the gift of eternal life and trust in the Lord Jesus. And you'll know all these blessings and many more, because that's only the beginning of it. That's only the start. There are many more blessings that he'll give you in life. What difference tomorrow would be if someone here were to receive Christ Jesus tomorrow, Monday morning, the 11th, I think it is, the 11th of February, would be a completely different Monday from what you've ever known before. It'd be different. There'd be something new about it. There'd be something real about it. Something wonderful about it. You'd have a song in your heart. Praise in your lips. A burden's been removed. What a difference it would be from tomorrow onwards in this week. It'd be totally different because you now have Christ Jesus with you and you can take him everywhere. Everywhere. Every step you take, Christ Jesus can be with you. That's what's offered in the gospel tonight. The glad tidings, the good news. Which is very scarce in the world today. But it's good that when we come together into a situation like this, it's to hear good news. We're not here to tell you bad news. We delight to talk about the Saviour. And we delight to talk about the blessings that he can give as a result of his dying up on the cross. Look to the cross tonight, my friend. There is life for a look. At the crucified one, there is life at this moment for thee. Thank you for your attention. And the children have attended well too. And we give them thanks for that. We appreciate it. And we just desire that something of the little time we've had together, and especially the Word of God, that's most important, the Word of God will reach into someone's heart tonight and make a complete change of life. Thank you for your interest, and shall we just commend us to the Lord in prayer.